Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Straight ahead on Fox 50 at 8, we're following breaking news in Fayetteville. A road is closed and a police officer is hurt after a tractor trailer crashed into a sinkhole.
And power outages are improving for this morning, but this system is still over us. Coming up, I'll show you how soon we can see showers develop today.
We're live on Six Forks Road, where overnight storms led to a crash that left one driver dead and hundreds without power. We'll have the latest on the investigation.
And we bring you in here into our WRL studio here at 8 o'clock today. And busy situation yesterday and in the overnight hours. Yeah. Luckily, it is pushing out. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we saw a lot of power outages this morning, as PETA said. Thankfully, most people seem to have their power turned back on this morning, which is what everybody likes to see. Meteorologist PETA Sherwood is here. PETA, we saw the heavy rain and storms last night. We're not out of the woods regarding rain today.
No, we are not. The front is actually just going to slowly move towards the east, but as it does so, we still have the potential of seeing some spotty showers and perhaps thunderstorms develop for this afternoon. So expect a mix of sun and clouds out the door for this morning. Some showers could develop around the 12 o'clock hour, and that is going to continue to grow as we head into 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. We are going to get gradual clearing for this evening and tonight due to a big loss of sunshine and that allowing us to see that storm energy die down. And with the front moving towards the east, our rain chances will come down for this evening. We're looking live at Anger this morning. A lot of sun in this area. It's gorgeous for this morning with bright conditions and our temperatures are warming up. Most of us right now in the 70s, 74 degrees in Raleigh and Durham, 72 in Southern Pines, and 70 degrees out there in Rocky Mount. And today, if you're heading to the park, grab that water bottle. We're looking at a high temperature of 90 degrees with evening temperatures cooling off into the 80s. Brian?
It is 8:02 right now. Look out for a crash at the interchange there on Glenwood Avenue around 440 between Glenwood and Creedmoor. It looks like there is some sort of an incident there. We are seeing some delays building. I want to check in on I-40 westbound as you head through Wake County. All clear through Garner, but then we're seeing some of the usual delays there in South Raleigh between 440 out toward the US 1 interchange. About an 8-minute backup overall. Most of that is from Lake Wheeler Road out toward Gorman Street and just beyond. And we're picking up about a 1-minute slowdown overall from Wade Avenue out toward 540. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, look out for some delays on 540 westbound between Lewisburg Road and Capitol Boulevard this morning. We had an earlier crash on 440 westbound right around Lake Boone Trail. It looks like a lot of that has cleared now. Maybe some lingering backups, about a 5-minute delay on 440 westbound from 87 around toward Wade Avenue. In Durham, we're looking good overall on our major routes. No big problem showing up on 85 or 40, and 885 is in fairly good shape. On the north side of Johnston County, we've been tracking a crash at 42 right around 222. Still seeing some delays as you head through that area. Major approaches into Raleigh looking pretty typical for this point in the morning commute with a 2-minute slowdown on southbound 87 coming in from Knightdale. Out of Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard at some of those intersections along the way, we're now measuring an 8-minute delay. We've been telling you all morning about the west side of Fayetteville. A sinkhole opened up. They're still working to repair that, and this is probably going to be a long-term problem out there. Rayford Road closed right around Graham Road. Consider using Skybow, Cliffdale, and 295 as a good alternate route. Also, South Riley Road near Willowbrook Drive, down power lines from that storm last night, still closed in that area just south of Morganton Road. Consider using 295 as an alternate route through there.
And Brian, as you mentioned, that breaking news this morning, a police officer was hurt after falling into the same sinkhole where a truck crashed overnight. Happened on U.S. 401 in Fayetteville near 71st Middle and High Schools. So the road is closed and WRO's Michael Grace was there when it all happened. Actually helped the officer before paramedics got on scene.
Yeah, that's right. When I first got here, that officer was actually army crawling out of the sinkhole while another member of the media was on the phone with 911. We waited with that officer until paramedics arrived. But this is video of what that moment was like once the first officer met us on scene. And you can see the officer completely covered in mud, thankfully only has minor injuries. Could have been a lot worse. Now, what we know so far is that a roadblock was set up with the police cruiser. That tractor trailer was trying to brake, actually hit part of the police cruiser, and then forced the officer into the sinkhole. Right now, we're still working to find out if the driver of the tractor trailer is going to face any charges. But as for the repair here for this section of road, I spoke with the DOT. They estimate it could take several days. They're going to have to rip up all of the road and then fill it in with dirt before they repave, because that sinkhole in the water just took everything underneath out. If this area is part of your regular commute, definitely going to want to plan for detours, at least for the next couple days. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WREL News.
And more breaking news out of Raleigh. A driver is dead after crashing into a Duke Energy truck. It happened on Six Forks Road near Sandy Forks Road. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us near that scene right now. And Kelsey, a lot of these problems all tied to the overnight storms.
Yes, all of it is linked together, and power has been restored for the hundreds of people who woke up this morning without electricity after that crash that happened here on Six Forks Road. Just before midnight, this traffic light that's at the intersection of Six Forks and Sandy Forks just started working again within the last hour or so. I want everyone to take a look at this video from the aftermath of the crash. Police confirmed that the driver who died after their white sedan crashed into a Duke Energy truck is an adult male. His name hasn't been released. Police say the Duke Energy truck pulled over to investigate a power outage that was in the area when the crash happened, and the truck driver wasn't injured. Now, police say this is still an ongoing investigation, and if Six Forks Road is a part of your morning commute, you should be just fine. Traffic is moving smoothly. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
A portion of Bragg Boulevard is back open this morning after it was flooded overnight. About 18 to 20 inches of water filled that intersection with Martin Luther King Jr. Freeway. Two cars were abandoned in the water, needed to be pulled out. DOT was able to get the drains open and clear that road shortly after 3 this morning.
A home in Cary is in need of repair after a tree came down in that storm. The damaged home is in the Somerset development on Haley House Lane. The homeowner says part of a ceiling fell on a woman who was sitting on the sofa in the living room. She was not hurt. The tree did not fall directly onto the house, but it also caused damage to the master bedroom upstairs.
Similar stories. Firefighters will be back at this home in Cameron this morning to inspect the damage after a tree fell on it. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. The homeowner says he was in his kitchen during last night's storms when he heard a loud boom and felt the house shake. He believes he will need his entire roof replaced.
And hundreds of homes and businesses across the state were without power this morning after last night's severe weather. That is improving this morning. The latest data from Duke Energy shows locally many of those outages are focused in Johnston, Harnett, Cumberland, and Lee counties. That includes more than 800 in Cumberland and 600 in Harnett. This is a big improvement, as I said, from the thousands of outages that we saw overnight.
Storm system, of course, that hit the triangle overnight is affecting flights once again, as severe weather is expected in the northeast today. This is a live look outside at RDU this morning. Looks peaceful enough. Inside is where the problem is. WRL's Laura Levine joins us now to break down where these flight delays and cancellations stand right now. Laura.
Yeah, Jeff, and as we spend time here inside the airport, sitting down, you can overhear the conversations of people on the phone with customer care trying to get rebooked. And for some people, it's looking like possibly days before that happens. Here at RDU at this hour, we are seeing 19 flights delayed and 15 are canceled. And this comes, of course, with all of that bad weather really hitting the East Coast overnight and yesterday. More than 7,800 flights across the country were impacted, with United Airlines really faring the worst. By 10 o'clock last night, RDU had 55 canceled flights on top of 99 delays. That's according to FlightAware. Here this morning, we continue to track and monitor the conditions, but we are hearing of improvements. Many people who had flights that were canceled yesterday were able to fly out this morning. We will continue to stay on top of the conditions here at RDU. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Mooresville.
And anytime we have severe weather hitting the area, remember, you can always track the forecast in the WRL weather app. You can also check there for a closer look at storm damage that's left behind and any roads that may be closed.
A newly released recording is contradicting former President Donald Trump's claim that he did not share classified documents after leaving office. The audio was obtained by CNN. It is being used as evidence in the federal case against Trump, who is accused of mishandling classified information. It comes from an interview Trump gave in 2021 to a group working on the memoir of his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who's from North Carolina. Here's part of it.
We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to
deed less
figure
out. See, as president, I could have deed less.
Yeah.
Now I can't, you know, but this is
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. Yeah. I mean, it's so, I'm look, we here and I have, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
Yeah.
Trump has previously said the material he was talking about was just news clippings. A spokesperson for Trump said the recording shows the former president did nothing wrong.
Time now, 8:10. New developments within the last few hours after an attempted rebellion in Russia. The decision Vladimir Putin made about Wagner mercenaries.
And a star on the baseball field doesn't even play the game. Why this laboratory retriever is bringing people out to the ballpark.
And we are going to head to 90 degrees for this afternoon. We have a small chance of seeing a few passing showers and thunderstorms, but hot temperatures are going to be building in leading into the 4th of July weekend. Coming up, I'll time out our rain chances as we head into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sunshine, blue skies in Apex right now at 8:14 on our Tuesday morning. And you're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Certainly not the scene in the overnight hours, and it brought us to some pretty amazing totals in certain areas as far as rainfall. Peter Shearwood in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Jeff, I want to zoom in on the spot where we saw the most rain in the last 24 hours, right here. In Cumberland County, you guys racked up around 4 inches of rain. We know that 12 flood reports came in for the overnight hours. Folks were doing flood rescues, and we know a lot of impacts coming out of this area for this morning. Road closures and still some flooded conditions. You want to make sure that you are taking it easy in this area. If you encounter a road where there's a lot of water, just turn around and find an alternate route. We are going to continue to watch the cold front that is across the state right now to move towards the east. And it's going to do so very slowly for today. That is why we have a 20% chance of seeing a few pop-up showers into the afternoon with a little bit of energy associated with this still around. Some of those showers and thunderstorms will get going for the afternoon. And keep in mind, though, most of us will be dry. This front is going to linger across the eastern half of the state leading into Wednesday. High pressure will be building in from the north, and this high pressure system will allow us to see a decent amount of sunshine as we head into Wednesday and Thursday. We are going to watch this area of low pressure that will be moving across the Midwest. Eventually, it will roll in for this weekend with this trailing cold front and bring us another chance of showers and thunderstorms. So we're looking at a 20 to 30% chance on Friday, a 40% chance on Saturday, and a 20 to 30% chance as we head into Sunday. We are also watching the tropics very closely. We have remnants of Sydney continuing to bring some disorganized showers and thunderstorms out there in the Atlantic. It is likely to move towards the north and move just past Bermuda, where we expect it to potentially redevelop. There's a 30% chance within the next 7 days. We're going to watch this one here because we can see some indirect impacts from this across North Carolina. I'm talking about the rip current threat could increase along the beach as we head throughout the 4th of July week. So stay tuned to the forecast, especially if you're traveling to the coast for the weekend leading into 4th of July. We're seeing sunshine this morning on Franklin Street, looking live at Chapel Hill. What a lovely start to the day. We have temperatures that are warming up already at 74 degrees in the Triangle, 71 degrees out there in Southern Pines. Listen, if you want to go for a walk, this is the time to do it. If you are going to head out for this afternoon, you want to take it easy. 90 degrees will be our high temperature. And tomorrow, 89 degrees is going to be a little bit cooler, but it's still going to be hot. We will head back into the 90s leading into the weekend with our rain chances increasing. So will the humidity. Brian?
It is 8:17, just getting reports of a crash on 440 eastbound right around the Jones Franklin Road and Athens Drive Bridge area there on the west side of Raleigh. Heavy delays on US-1/440 eastbound begin all the way back around the Walnut Street area, busy through the 40 interchange all the way out toward Jones Franklin Road. If you're trying to get to the Beltline this morning, pick it up from the Western Boulevard interchange, that icon there indicating a crash. I don't think that there's actually a crash there. I think they're just trying to indicate that crash that I showed you around the Jones Franklin Road area is between there and the Western Boulevard interchange. Once you get through that trip on 440 eastbound looks good around the rest of Raleigh. Still tracking a crash right now on Glenwood Avenue, not too far from that 440 interchange. Pretty heavy delays in both directions right around the Crabtree Valley Mall area between Creedmoor and Leadmine Roads. Around the rest of Raleigh, we're watching a little bit of a delay on 440 westbound, which is usual between the 87 and Capitol Boulevard area. Also on 540 westbound, some sluggish traffic out on that side of Raleigh. On the north side of Johnston County, watch for an earlier crash still in the clearing stages, apparently at 42 at 222 north of the micro area. Could run into some delays as you head through that area.
Thank you, Brian. A 12-year-old girl is recovering with non-life-threatening injuries after being shot in Fayetteville. It happened just before 6 o'clock last night on Murchison Road. Murchison was shut down in both directions for at least 2 hours. Witnesses told us someone fired nearly a dozen shots. Police have yet to make any arrests.
The pilot of a plane that crashed into a home near our coast has died. That small plane crashed Sunday afternoon shortly after takeoff from Cape Fear Regional Jetport. That's in Southport, Brunswick County. The house it hit caught on fire. Three people inside the home at the time got out safely. The pilot has not been identified by the FAA. He was the only person on board, and it's still unclear what caused the crash.
And we're following some breaking news overseas. Russian authorities have agreed to drop charges against the Wagner mercenaries involved in an attempted rebellion. The move comes one day after Russian President Vladimir Putin told the mercenaries to exile themselves to nearby Belarus. In a 5-minute public address, he said they made the right choice to stop their rebellion. He called them traitors and warned that any future attempts at insurrection would be squashed.
Civil society showed that any blackmail and attempts to organize an internal mutiny would end in defeat. The armed rebellion would have been suppressed anyway.
A Russia security agency says it dropped charges against the mercenaries because they, quote, ceased activities directed at committing the crime. As for questions about the U.S.'s involvement, President Biden said America had nothing to do with the rebellion.
A school dress code case has reached the U.S. Supreme Court, and the justices have ruled they're siding with the students. Charter Day School in Leland, North Carolina, created a rule requiring female students to wear skirts. A lawsuit claimed the rule violated students' constitutional rights. A lower court agreed, but an appeal went to the Supreme Court. That appeal was denied. The school's policy now allows girls to wear pants.
Semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed has struck a $2 billion deal to expand. This new money is coming from a deal with Apollo Global Management, which is an investment group. The company is in the process of building a huge semiconductor plant in Chatham County. When completed, the factory will be roughly the size of 36 football fields. It's set to open in 2024.
Amazon is now getting small business owners to help with deliveries. The company launched its brand new Amazon Hub Delivery program yesterday. It'll operate in 23 states, including here in North Carolina, focusing on rural areas and big cities. Amazon will pay small business owners to deliver packages customers order. To become a hub, small businesses just have to apply. No delivery experience is needed. Those are LSU baseball fans right there reveling in their win after the Tigers took home the NCAA baseball championship record-breaking fashion last night. They steamrolled the Florida Gators 18-4. It was game three, the deciding game in the Men's College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. It's the team's seventh national championship in baseball, first, though, since 2009. The win makes the Tigers the second most all-time winning team behind the University of Southern California's 12 baseball titles.
That's a lot of happy fans. Well, a collegiate summer league baseball team in Tennessee has gone to a dog to be their bat boy. One of the most popular members of the Johnson City Doughboys this season is a fetcher named Rocky. Rocky the Bat Dog is a three-year-old Labrador retriever, and he's got a job to do. The dog goes and gets the bat after each batter hits the ball. Rocky's owner and her husband are big baseball fans, and they asked the coach if he needed a bat dog. They got the idea to train him after seeing another dog fetch bats.
If they hit it or they get out, the dog goes and gets the bat, and it's just as cool as they can get.
And the team says Rocky has been great for morale. One day his parents hope to get invited to a major league game for Rocky to do his thing in the big leagues. I think we have a dog of our own, Jeff. We have Ripken, the bat dog, the Durham
Bulls. We're spoiled at the DBAP, you know. They got a dog, go get the bats.
They're awesome.
NC State has a dog that runs out and gets the tee at football games.
Yeah, so cute.
Yeah, we're great. Talk about a close call here. Video drone footage captures the moment a humpback whale came in within a few feet of a kayaker.
Well, mate, turn around. He's under you.
He's under you, and they're bigger than kayaks. 5,000 humpback whales spotted off the coast on Sunday in Australia.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Tuesday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. After storms we saw last night, there are some blue skies this morning. Meteorologist Peter Sherwood has a live look over Chapel Hill this morning, Peter.
It is sunny as we take a live look at Franklin Street. Nice way to get your morning started. I know a lot of folks will be cleaning up. And the thing is that it is very warm out there right now at 74 degrees right at this hour in the triangle. And come this afternoon, we do have the chance of seeing a few spotty showers and perhaps a stray thunderstorm develop for today. It's just a 20% chance most of us will be dry. We have temperatures that are going to heat up. We're heading to 90 degrees. Make sure you're staying hydrated for today. Brian?
Watching a few crashes around Wake County right now on 440 eastbound. Look for a crash between the Jones Franklin Road interchange and Western Boulevard. Looks like it's right there beyond the Athens Drive Bridge. You can see those delays coming in from Cary, and it looks like we may have a crash in those delays on US 1 northbound just before you get to Walnut Street. Need to allow plenty of extra time through there. Also, one or two crashes, I think two, on Glenwood Avenue between 440 and Creedmoor Road. You can see some pretty heavy delays showing up there, especially on that inbound side in front of Crabtree Valley Mall.
All right, Brian, thank you. A police officer is hurt after falling into the same sinkhole where a car crashed overnight in Fayetteville. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene. It happened on US 401 near 71st Middle and High Schools. The road is closed, and officials say it will take days to repair. And a driver is dead after crashing into a Duke Energy truck in Raleigh. It happened just before midnight on Six Forks Road near Sandy Forks Road. The Duke Energy truck was pulled over to investigate a power outage when a white sedan crashed into the back of it. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic over on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Ahead on Fox 50 at 8:30, we are following breaking news in Fayetteville. A road is closed and a police officer is hurt after a tractor trailer crashed into a sinkhole. Overnight storms led to a crash that left one driver dead and hundreds without power. We'll have the latest on the investigation.
And the storm system that brought storms last night continues to slowly move towards the east. Coming up, I'll let you know why that could spark some showers this afternoon.
With those storms hitting our area overnight, we are tracking flight cancellations and delays that remain here at RDU.
On your Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for staying with us on Fox 50. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday here as we get things rolling. What an overnight we had. I mean, there was damage widespread in some areas, but there was also some dangerous situations out there. We're going to rewind it a little bit with Peter Sherwood right now as we look at what's happening as this is pushed off now.
Right. You can see the bulk of the storms over the Atlantic bringing all those gusty winds just towards the east. We still have the actual cold front that's moving across the portions of our viewing area across central North Carolina. And because it is slowly moving to the east, that could spark some showers and perhaps some thunderstorms for this afternoon. A little bit of storm energy will be out there, allowing those showers and thunderstorms to billow up for today, but it is not going to be widespread. And most of us will be dry for this afternoon. That will gradually clear out for this evening. We're taking a live look at Clinton, where we are seeing a ton of sunshine for this hour. Our temperatures are heating up. Clinton, you guys are at 70 degrees right now, 74 degrees out there in Raleigh and Durham, and 73 in Southern Pines. This is the time to enjoy your morning walk or your walk for today, because heading into the afternoon, we're looking at a high of 90 degrees. It is still going to be steamy for today. Coming up, I'll show you when our feels like temperatures will top in the triple digits for this week. Brian?
It is 8:32 right now. I want to update you about some big delays that we're following on US 1 northbound and 440 eastbound coming in from Cary into West Raleigh. This is a live look at that camera at US 1 at Walnut Street. You can see that northbound traffic pretty much at a standstill heading through the I-40 interchange there. We have a couple of crashes causing these delays. First of all, there's one on US 1 northbound right there around the Walnut Street interchange from 55 in Apex up to I-40 in Raleigh. That ride through Cary on US 1 northbound is going to see about a 12-minute delay, so about 12 minutes longer than it usually takes. Looks like most of those backups began right around the Cary Parkway interchange. There's a second crash on 440 eastbound between Jones Franklin Road out toward the Athens Drive Bridge area there, heading up toward Western Boulevard, and you can see some pretty big delays showing up in that stretch of 440 eastbound. Need to allow plenty of extra time heading into the west part of Raleigh this morning from Cary. Another crash or two that we're following in Raleigh on Glenwood Avenue between 440 and Creedmoor Road. Seeing some very heavy delays, especially on that eastbound or inbound side of Glenwood Avenue, right there around the Crabtree Valley Mall area. Apparently a crash with injuries. Working to get that one cleared up at the moment.
Brian, thanks. We also have breaking news this morning. A police officer hurt after falling into the same sinkhole where a tractor trailer cab crashed into it overnight. This happened on US 401 in Fayetteville, right near 71st Middle and High Schools. WRL's Michael Grace was there when this happened and actually became a first responder himself, helping the officer before paramedics arrived.
Yeah, that's right. When I first got here, that officer was actually army crawling out of the sinkhole while another member of the media was on the phone with 911. We waited with that officer until paramedics arrived. But this is video of what that moment was like once the first officer met us on scene. And you can see the officer completely covered in mud, thankfully only has minor injuries, could have been a lot worse. Now what we know so far is that a roadblock was set up with the police cruiser. That tractor trailer was trying to brake, actually hit part of the police cruiser and then forced the officer into the sinkhole. Right now we're still working to find out if the driver of the tractor trailer is gonna face any charges. But as for the repair here for this section of road, I spoke with the DOT. They estimate it could take several days. They're going to have to rip up all of the road and then fill it in with dirt before they repave, because that sinkhole in the water just took everything underneath out. If this area is part of your regular commute, definitely going to want to plan for detours, at least for the next couple days. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WREL News.
And more breaking news in Raleigh. A driver is dead after crashing into a Duke Energy truck. Police say this all happened on Six Forks Road, right near Sandy Forks Road. That's where we find WRL's Kelsey Coffey. She's been on the scene all morning.
Power is being restored for hundreds of people after a deadly crash happened here on Six Forks Road near Sandy Forks Road just after midnight. Take a look at this video from the aftermath of the crash. Police confirmed that the driver who died after their white sedan crashed into a Duke Energy truck is an adult male. They say the Duke Energy truck pulled over to investigate a power outage that was in the area when the crash happened. They say the truck driver wasn't injured. The name of the driver who died hasn't been released yet, and police say this is still an ongoing investigation. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Raleigh.
A home in Cary will need some repairs after a tree came down on it in the storm. The damaged home is in the Somerset development on Haley House Lane. The homeowner says part of the ceiling fell on a woman who was sitting on the sofa in the family room. She was not hurt. The tree did not fall directly onto the house, but it also caused some damage to the master bedroom upstairs.
And firefighters will be back at this home in Cameron this morning to inspect the damage after a tree fell on top of it. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker. The homeowner says he was in his kitchen during last night's storms when he heard a loud boom and felt his house shake. He believes he will need to replace the entire roof. And the storm system that hit the triangle overnight is impacting flights for the third day now. This is a live look outside of RDU this morning. WREL's Laura Levine tells us where flight delays and cancellations stand right now.
It continues to be a bumpy ride for people who are trying to fly out of RDU. It's been a tough, really, 2 days at the airport. Behind me, we continue to see crowds here of people trying to check into their flights or trying to get assistance with customer service here. As of 7 o'clock this morning, RDU had up to 15 cancellations and 18 flights delayed. More than 7,800 flights across the U.S. were impacted yesterday, with United Airlines really faring the worst. By 10 o'clock last night, RDU had 55 canceled flights on top of 99 delays. That's all according to FlightAware, of course, and we continue to track and monitor the conditions here. The good news is that many travelers that we spoke with at the airport say that they are seeing some improvements, and some flights are still on time. Laura Levine, WREL News at RDU.
And anytime we have severe weather hitting the area, remember you can track the forecast in the WREL weather app. You can also check there for a closer look at storm damage that's left behind and any roads that may be closed.
Last minute changes to a ban on abortions after 12 weeks in North Carolina are almost set in stone ahead of a key hearing on the issue. The state Senate approved the changes last night. The House is set to sign off tomorrow. That vote will take place the same day a federal judge hears a lawsuit against the law from Planned Parenthood. Republican lawmakers are hoping the changes will convince the judge to let the ban take effect. If the judge agrees, the ban will begin Saturday. Governor Roy Cooper could still veto it, but that would just delay the ban because the GOP has enough support in the General Assembly to override any veto.
And Jeff, a different scenario on this issue is playing out in Japan, happening now in the WREL Live Center, that country health ministry, approving a plan to test over-the-counter sales of the morning-after pill. Starting this summer, women will be able to purchase the morning-after pill at pharmacies, government-approved pharmacies, by the way, until next March. Again, this is just a pilot program for the morning-after pill. Now, the approved pharmacies will coordinate treatment with nearby OBGYN clinics. Japan also approved sales of its first abortion pill back in April.
And we'll learn more today about progress on a new effort to keep your children safe in Wake County Public Schools. The Board of Education will receive an update on the timeline for its new visitor management system. It'll require visitors, including parents and volunteers, to show ID and submit a background check. The program reviews whether any visitor is a sex offender or on any other watch lists. The school system is working with a vendor to get the kiosks installed at every school. The man accused of killing four college students in Idaho may face the death penalty. What we're expected to learn about his case today and why he says he's not guilty.
Plus, when it comes to sunscreen, the spray bottle is usually a favorite because it's convenient, but you may not be getting as much protection. The do's and don'ts of spray sunscreens next.
And this is a live look at Fayetteville this morning. It is another day with possible rain. We have a lot of sunshine right now. Peter Sherwood will tell us when and where we could see that rain later. The calm after the storms. This is a live look over Clinton. Plenty of blue skies and sunshine there this morning, a vast difference from what we saw last night. Meteorologist Peter Sherwood here with a look at some of the local storm reports. We saw a lot of heavy rain and thunderstorms last night, Peter.
Yeah, and those thunderstorms did produce some strong gusty winds and flooding across our state. I do want to show you here what some folks, even across the New England coastline dealt with for the last 24 hours. Those storms rolled in. And we also got about 12 flooding reports out of Cumberland County in the overnight hours. And take a look at where we actually have those strong winds set up last night. We saw them across the triangle and areas to the south. Some folks still dealing without power for this morning, but this is a big improvement compared to how it was looking around 3 o'clock, where much of the map was in blue and a lot of folks in our viewing area were in the dark last night. So they have folks restoring power for this morning, and we are going to continue to monitor the power outages across our region. But we have this cold front that is slowly making its way across the state. It is going to slowly move towards the east, but as it does so, there's still the chance that we can see some scattered showers and perhaps some thunderstorms as we head into the afternoon. That is likely to pick up after 12 o'clock and continue into the 3 o'clock hour. We are going to get gradual clearing as we head into 5 o'clock. Keep in mind, as we lose daytime heating, those storms are going to die down. And with the front actually moving towards the east, those storm chances are going to be a little bit higher across the coast for today. We are still going to be a little steamy behind this system. As we head into the afternoon, the dew points in the 60s will make it feel a little bit uncomfortable outside. Once we head into Friday, that number picking up into the 70s, we are going to be in that tropical category with dew points in the 70s and temperatures climbing into the 90s for the 4th of July weekend. We could see feels like temperatures ranging from 100 to 105 degrees. It is certainly likely to be hot leading into the weekend. As we take a live look at Clinton this morning, another shot here, seeing mostly sunny conditions. We have temperatures that are in the lower 70s across the Sand Hills, and it's currently 74 degrees in the Triangle, 74 degrees out there in South Hill and Roxborough. Good morning. It's 70 degrees for you. We have mild conditions right now. Come this afternoon, it's going to be hot. 90 degrees will be our afternoon high. The earlier you head out for your outdoor activities, the better today. Tomorrow, we're looking at a high of 89, mostly sunny, and then heading back into the 90s for Thursday and Friday. Notice our rain chances leading into the 4th of July weekend expected to increase as well.
Peter, thanks. Today, the man accused of killing four University of Idaho students will appear in court, and he may face the death penalty if he's found guilty. A new court filing shows prosecutors will seek the death penalty for Brian Koberger. He's accused of stabbing the students to death at an off-campus home last fall. Koberger denies any wrongdoing. His attorneys say the DNA of two other men was found at the scene. They claim Koberger has no connection to the victims.
An Iowa community is remembering a news anchor who has now been missing for 28 years. Jody Huizentrout failed to show up for work in Mason City on June 27, 1995. Her colleagues say they called to check on her that day. She said she overslept and would be there shortly. She never showed up, and police believe that she was abducted on her way to work. They found signs of a struggle outside the car she was driving, and her belongings were left there, including a bent car key. No arrests have been made, and Jody's whereabouts remain unknown.
Spray sunscreen is popular, but that convenience may come at a cost. You may not be getting as much protection. Health and wellness reporter Lauren Petty explains what safety risks you should keep in mind.
It's a super popular way to try to prevent sunburn.
I feel like it's easier to like spray on, you know, you just go.
But spray sunscreen only works if it's applied correctly and not like this.
Most oftentimes that I see a sunburn, I ask the person, did they use sunscreen? And it is almost always, I used a spray sunscreen.
Dr. Jordan Carkaville is a dermatologist who says there are do's and don'ts when it comes to spray sun protection.
When I see parents spraying the kids just, you know, in the face, I think that's probably the thing that bothers me most.
Never spray sunscreen directly in someone's face. Otherwise, they could inhale potentially dangerous chemicals.
These are meant to be used on the skin. They're not meant to be used on mucous membranes. They're not meant to be inhaled.
That includes titanium dioxide, which studies have found caused cancer in rodents, and benzene that sparked a recall.
Benzene is known to be harmful to humans, and so they were removed from the market.
For this day at the beach, Lupe applied sunscreen to her kids the way doctors recommend.
I put it on my hands and I put it on their faces.
When applying spray sunscreen, dermatologists recommend you hold it closer to your skin than you may realize and spray until your skin glistens.
You want to be about 1 to 2 inches away from the skin so that you are not losing it to the wind.
One Australia study found up to 79% of spray sunscreen can be lost in light wind conditions.
So we know that in an even mildly windy area, today is really windy, so I wouldn't put it on today, but you lose a lot of products.
Many people choose spray to avoid sticky hands, but you should always rub your sunscreen in.
Some of them are thicker, and you really do want to rub them in. Those are the ones I like because they're thick. They are usually a mineral component to it.
And no less is not more.
Typically, you use about a shot glass size of a lotion or a cream for the entire body. With these sunscreens, the spray sunscreens, it's really hard to get that accurate quantity.
A beach day alternative.
My biggest suggestion for anyone is sun protective clothing.
Swim shirts, rash guards, and sunscreen. Essentials for a day in the sun.
My biggest advice is to find a product that you like, use it correctly, and use it often.
Yeah, just use a lot of it. And 50. They didn't say anything about the numbers, but 50. Seems like a good number. That was Lauren Petty reporting. This morning, fire officials are working to figure out what caused a North Carolina school to burst into flames. Look at this new video from overnight to the fire in Charlotte that happened at the Charlotte Preparatory School. You see those heavy flames coming out of the building and the destruction it left behind. More than 60 firefighters responded to help put out that fire. No injuries have been reported.
We'll learn more today about plans for growth in West Raleigh. Local and state leaders will give updates during a panel discussion this morning at NC State. They'll share the progress on the Hillsboro Street closure and I-440 work along Blue Ridge Corridor and new affordable housing. Now, the goal is to improve traffic flow in the area. Organizers say there are hundreds of millions of dollars being invested into these projects.
And that's really the full range of transportation options, from greenways, sidewalks, and bike lanes to the bus rapid transit city system, all the way out to the highway expansion and renovation project.
And this morning's panel discussion at NC State started at 8:30 this morning.
A crucial Supreme Court ruling on the future of college admissions policy could be coming today. The Supreme Court is set to share its decision on whether colleges and universities can look at race when accepting students. This stems from lawsuits against UNC and Harvard over their affirmative action policies. College administrators in California outlawed affirmative action more than 20 years ago, and now they say minority admissions have never recovered.
The fact that there are high schools in this country that have manicured lawns and golf courses, and there are high schools in this country that have bars on the windows and metal detectors in the hallways, and yet we are asking both of those students to show up in our application process the same, doesn't make any sense.
If the court agrees using race violates the law, schools may still look at an applicant's finances, zip code, or even consider essays about overcoming adversity. A couple of major road projects along the Beltline could delay overnight drivers this week. Work on the I-440 widening project will have eastbound Wade Avenue closed from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. each night through Thursday. Crews are working to demolish the old I-440 West Bridge to Wade Avenue. Meanwhile, resurfacing continues to fix the rough pavement on I-440 between Lake Boone Trail and Wake Forest Road. Crews have one more lane to complete on the eastbound side between Six Forks and Wake Forest Road. So it's coming along. It's getting smoother by the day. Today is the day for dog lovers in Durham. The new dog park at Rock Quarry Park officially opens. The new dog park has been in the works for years, and it will replace the Northgate Park dog park.
Barbie fans can celebrate their favorite doll's new life action movie with a stay in life-size Malibu Dreamhouse. Look at this thing. Warner Brother and Airbnb are teaming up for the promotion. Two winners will get an overnight stay on July 21st and July 22nd. Each can bring a friend. This is the same dream house that Airbnb listed in 2019 in honor of Barbie's 60th anniversary, but it has had a makeover since then. Oh my gosh, I'm free. I want to go.
Pretty good view.
Yeah,
can't
look at
argue
that.
With that. I think it's got a roller skating rink in there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very pretty. I like a lot of pink. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.